I'm coming with it.
Here we go, 7 o'clock.
Okay.
There you go, Ken.
Would you all rise, please, and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Carol, would you call roll for us, please?
President Grace.
I am here.
Vice President Dawson.
I'm also here.
Director Simon.
I'm pretty much here.
Director Steele.
Here.
Director Tatro.
A little here. Someone had been
I'm not even touching it. Rick, when was this? Rick?
Yes.
Was that now? When was that supposed to happen?
After public comments.
I'm sorry, public comments, please. I see. This is the time when anybody that has anything that they would like to discuss that is not on the agenda for this evening is welcome to come to the mic and discuss it. Say it. Not for discussion, for statements. Let me turn this thing
on. Read the script.
This thing seems to have a weird place.
You can pull it back a little bit, not if you want.
That's good. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I can hear you now.
Well, hello. I believe the information that was reported by Hannah Dreyer in the Contra Costa Times clearly shows that the no cash policy was developed to hinder anonymous public records requests. For those who haven't seen it, David Pifo, who's retired from the board a month after the no cash policy was introduced, offered us a candid glimpse into the development of the no cash policy when he admitted it was designed to put an end to anonymous requests for information. Director Pifo supported the no cash policy because he believed anonymous public records requests are inappropriate. Mr. Pifo's admission that the no cash policy was a scheme hatched during his time on the board to hinder anonymous PRRs is both relevant and beyond debate. I would again like to voice my opposition for the no cash policy because, as Director Pifo admits, it was developed in opposition to the public's right under the Public Records Act. Next, we have Director Dawson's comments that anonymous requests are cowardly and indicative of bad intentions. I am here also to speak in opposition to Director Dawson's remark because anonymous public records requests are neither cowardly nor indicative of bad intentions, as he alleges. Far from it, the right to public information free from harassment of the government is an essential and protected right. I wonder what other rights bestowed on the citizens of this great state by our legislature, which Director Dawson may harbor hostility for. Then we have General Manager Rick Howard remarking that the no cash policy provides a side benefit of creating accountability surrounding public records requests. Excuse me. I would like to voice my opposition for the General Manager's statements also, because public accountability of public records requests should not be a side benefit of any policy. The law is clear that anonymous public records requests are legal and protected. The Public Record Act is intended to facilitate the disclosure of government information, not allow the government to compile an enemies list. The comments for which I have voiced my opposition here tonight clearly demonstrate confusion and hostility for the Public Records Act and violate sworn oaths of office that these gentlemen have given. The board had no opportunity to legally discuss the anonymous public records request and no cash policy pretext since Pifo, Dawson, and Howard made their statements public, and you're precluded from doing so privately. I'm surprised and disappointed that the issue is not on the agenda this evening, but that being the case, excuse me, I suggest the board reconsider the no cash policy via an agendized item at your next meeting. Your options, as I understand them, are to agendize.
John, you're well over your 3 minutes. Can you wrap it up for us, please?
You bet. I think your options are to agendize them or ignore the comments that have been made. I also think that to bolster the public confidence in the local governance, the board should request, and then I'm done, an outside review of the policies, including the Public Records Act request policies and no cash policies of this board, and have that review performed by a county administrator, a grand jury, or LAFCO, or some other similar trusted agency. Thanks.
Any other comments?
Good evening. This week I took the opportunity to listen to the recording of the January 22nd special meeting workshop. And I have to say, honestly say that in the 4 years that I've been paying attention, attending meetings, listening to meetings, that, in my opinion, was the most productive use of time that I have observed. And I think you should be congratulated, and hopefully that's going to be setting a new trend, having meetings like that. But I wanted to point out a couple things. I think it was towards the end of the meeting, Director Steele asked about, I think it was Director Steele, about priorities. And it was suggested that that would happen later, maybe during the budgeting process. In my experience, a budget is not a place to set priorities. A budget is a function of usually a strategic plan and priorities. And they all work together and come together for a master plan for an entity to go forward and be successful. So I want to suggest once again, as I have in the past, as I've done in writing, and as I'll give you another copy here, and these are the remarks that I submitted prior to that meeting, so point G. I'm once again suggesting that you go back and have another meeting like you did. But this time, a meeting to begin the process, a focused workshop to begin the process of creating a vision statement, a master plan, a strategic plan, whatever you want to call it for this town, that includes priorities, that the water and waste analysis and ultimately master plan will fit into, and that when the budget revised and improved budget process happens this summer, it'll all come together and become a living document that this town can use going forward for a lot of purposes, provide guidance inside and outside, and allow this board to influence the areas that you have direct control over and a lot of areas that you don't, that the town needs support and help going forward. So once again, I think that was a great meeting. I think it was a great start. But I think you need to take it one step forward. I think you need to create a plan, and I think you need to create priorities, and then work on a better budget process. One last thing. I know the fire board representative is on the agenda tonight. I don't think he's here again.
Oh, no.
And I think when you call on him, I think I would appreciate it if you could open the floor for some comments, because I do have a couple comments. Thank you.
No, but that's okay. Okay, any other comments? Sorry, Jeff, that's what this was for?
Yes.
Can you pass that down to Carol? Thanks for filling that out, by the way. Any other comments from the public? Okay. At this point in time, I have a small, I'd like to acknowledge and make a presentation. Virgil, you want to come up here for a second? Come on up to the front, Virgil.
Don't do it, Virgil.
We'll clap for you. I just want to briefly read to you a certificate of achievement that the town of Discovery Bay got recently from the Highway Patrol. And this is to certify that Discovery Bay has achieved consecutive, actually it's like 3 years, isn't it? Of consecutive satisfactory safety compliance ratings on our vehicles. The California Highway Patrol congratulates Discovery Bay on this meritorious achievement and recognition the commitment to highway safety demonstrated by the personnel responsible for the operation of these vehicles. And so they sent us this great little certificate, of which Virgil is very diligent about making sure that we are up with where we're up to be. And that's another moving target. They're always changing what we have to do with our diesels. He's constantly having to get vehicles that not only get vehicles that comply, he's got to figure out how to get rid of vehicles that don't comply. And for that, the Highway Patrol has given us a recognition, so I just want to recognize you for that achievement, Virgil, and I think we'll put this up on the wall here, if that's
great.
Okay with you.
Thank you.
Thank
yes.
you very much.
You.
Okay, area.
Is that the town's laptop?
Lieutenant Burton.
This email you have filed for me. Just send you an email.
So you can present something?
Yeah.
Good evening to everyone. While you review the report, it's been kind of an interesting month. As I sat in my office with the patrol division, or with the field ops commander in my office, the sheriff had just left Delta Station, and I hear the words Discovery Bay Boulevard in pursuit. And in my time here, I've not heard those terms used together. So, you know, I kind of perked up, and of course, my commander kept talking, and I'm trying to listen to this pursuit while he's talking, and so the thing went on for a little while, and then we went in and called it off because it got too dangerous for conditions. But what the end result was that we were able to identify one of our local crooks who we believe is responsible for a number of residential burglaries, side door garage kick burglaries here and in Brentwood, because they ended up dumping the vehicle. They fled and left a lot of good evidence in the vehicle for us. So I did get a call from a citizen who was concerned about the speeds that went on in Discovery Bay, and you know, pursuits are full of adrenaline. And you know, I remember pursuits as a deputy that now, as a lieutenant listening to them, they would have been called off within about 1 minute of me starting them. And so there's always a risk factor. The deputy was very responsible in terms of we terminated it. He put out accurate conditions, and we went in and terminated it. And then we had what is being investigated very politely as a home invasion robbery. What I will tell you is this: if I lived in Discovery Bay, you are no more, I would be no more at risk because of this event. There's some really odd things, including the guy waited 2 days to call us to tell us about it. There's some less than desirable folks involved in this process, and so there's a lot of variables to it. So if you hear of a home invasion robbery, it was, I don't believe it's not a random act. There's some serious flaws in this person's story, so I would put your mind at ease over that. Those, again, I think at the end of it, it's going to come out that the thing was either staged or that this person was engaged in illegal activity and some of his former clients decided to rip him off. Since we last met, the Sheriff's Municipal Advisory Committee, the SMAC, Sheriff Livingston and Under Sheriff Gerald and I, we had a SMAC luncheon, and we, as a group, the members included, just realized that group was born out of a different time and different personalities and that sort of thing. And Sheriff Livingston has suspended those SMAC meetings. You know, and I take that as a compliment, because that SMAC, I wasn't here then. I don't know how many of you were involved in that process, but that group was developed in a different time, I think mostly because of a lack of a relationship between the guy who sat in my chair and this group. And I'm very proud of the relationship that I have with a lot of people in Discovery Bay. But especially this group, and so I'm thankful that you all have been supportive of me, and I hope that I have been supportive of you, because that group to me always felt like something wrong for me. I didn't like it because I felt like, hey, I have a rapport with these people. So the sheriff identified it. The group was thanked, you know, those people, whether or not anybody liked, supported, thought it was okay or not, is really irrelevant. The people who served on that board, they in the same vein that we volunteer and do things for the community, that was their goal. So that group is suspended indefinitely. Other than that, the P6 met. some real positive energy, a lot of discussion about the extending, one of the ideas on the table is an extension of the resident deputy program that would support a partnership between the P6, the sheriff's office, and the school district to have what would be sort of a, as I see it, a part-time resident deputy and a part-time SRO at the middle school. A couple days at one job, a couple days at the other. I like it. The group is very, those of you, I don't know if folks have followed along, we suspended the meetings at the end of last year, but that group is extremely energetic and extremely positive about the things that they want to do for the community as a whole. We talked about do a summer series for kids, you know, get, pay, you know, contact the Golden State Warriors and bring a couple of basketball players out here, get some of the, you know, the illegal basketball nets that are in people's driveways and drag them down to the shopping center and have a basketball night, you know, have a Raider night, have a fishing tournament down at the marina, just things like that. And it was nothing is set in stone. It was all just kind of brainstorming, but an effort to get the kids involved and get the kids something to do, especially in the summer evening months. So that group is moving along, very positive energy, and hopefully we will produce some work that people can put their hands on very soon. Does anybody have any questions?
Does the board have anything they want to comment on?
What was it, Mike? What was the armed robbery?
That was the
home invasion.
This is the one you think wasn't.
Which number are you looking at, Mark?
Way down the bottom of page one.
What's the number?
11001225. 4900 block of Discovery Point.
While Chief is looking that up, just for everybody's information, the P6 has changed their meeting dates and times to the second Tuesday of the month at 7:30 here in December. So for future reference, that's going to be the future agenda schedule for P6. So there is a meeting this coming Tuesday night.
Anybody else?
Discipline, there's nothing on my
because you're out of town. Does anybody else have any questions?
No,
probably not.
All right.
Thank you.
It's not really directed to Lieutenant Burton. In all honesty, I'm a little uncomfortable. I'll direct it to him if you want me to. But I think the work you guys do is great. I think you're fabulous. You've been for a long time. I've attended those SMAC meetings. My concern is that we continue month after month after month to handle AC functions during this meeting where we have the paid attorney, we have paid staff. And it's not appropriate. I know, you know, last year,
okay,
early in the year.
Excuse me, Don. You had 3 minutes for public comment. That's not, that this has nothing to do with the police activities. And so you can't, I just want to say that I don't think you should be just coming up and talking about a different subject that would be normally under public comment. You've had your 3 minutes under public comment. That's not what this time is. We're done with that now.
Well, I'm sorry. I was commenting on the sheriff's office reporting here tonight that's on the agenda.
I'm confused. You're talking about AC duties. That has nothing to do with the subject matter that we're talking about here.
Well, maybe we can talk about this later. I don't want to take up your time if you think this is inappropriate, but there's an AC report being put forth, and I'm commenting on that report being put forth. I think that is part of this agenda item. And I would just ask you to think, because on December 15th, I came up and tried to say something, and you forbade me from saying it. And I don't think it's a good habit to get into.
Forbid? Just do it at public comment, that's all.
Well, this is not a public comment. This is in response to this report that's on the agenda.
Okay, what part of his report did you want to talk about?
The fact that he's giving it in these meetings. I think I made my point. I go sit down on this now, but
I didn't get the point, but that's okay.
Well, I'll try again then. My point is that the sheriff's office came up and made a report here.
Yes, he
did. And I don't think this is the appropriate venue for that report to be made. I think he's wonderful. and they do a great job.
What would be the appropriate?
Yeah, that would be a great question.
Well, I think that if this board, that's a good question. If this board would work through LAFCO and activate the funding powers.
Okay, see now, this is where you're going off on it on something that's unrelated. Okay, we have, well, but you know the answer. Or let me explain, maybe you don't know the answer. I'll give you the answer. The answer is, we have been given AC functions by LAFCO, period. And we're exercising those options right now by having these times during our meeting that we've had for the last, I don't know how many years, doesn't necessarily make it right, but if the fact is we've been doing it, and we have those latent powers that were given to us by LAFCO. It's in our, it's in our charter.
I have a question. What's AC duties?
advisory committee duties.
Advisory
council duties, excuse me, advisory council duties. This is a much deeper, it has really nothing to do with you, Lieutenant.
But I'm gonna make this really easy. Dawn, I come to this meeting because I choose to, not because I'm directed to.
I understand.
And I will go to any of the, I'll do this thing at any.
And you have, and I.
That asks me to, or.
I appreciate that.
I take, I want every opportunity to be with the public here, and so that's my choice. I was actually told I don't have to come to this meeting 4 years ago. So it's not as though I wouldn't necessarily hold them responsible. This is more me saying, hey, I want to be here, I want to make the report. And it gives the public a time to say, I know I'm probably going to see Burton or one of his representatives this time every month. And that's why we do it.
Can I?
Thank you for your participation,
to
too.
Town and discover that
You know what? It's not the right area, but I'm going to ask that we put it on an upcoming agenda.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Click through to the sheriff's office.
Right? Chief Burris. That may be out of order, but I happen to be looking at you.
I'm just giving more visibility.
Tell us why you're here this evening.
My boss makes me come.
Not gonna lie. I knew that was coming.
I love it.
But I like it, so. Put my best foot forward here. All right, calls for Discovery Bay for January. January 1st, the end of the month, we had a total of 53 calls, up from 46 the month before. One of the things that really pushed us over from the 46 the month before, men, I look at you, there's a thing that attached to the dryer called the lint trap. We had the day of the dryer fires where we had 5 dryer fires, so you have to empty that. You'd be surprised, not being sexist, but all the men were home, none of the ladies.
Oh my
God. I don't know what to say.
Come on. I take exception to that. I empty my lip track.
Every time, so do I. But I was a bachelor for a long time too, so.
One other thing, rubber, like a plastic mattress cover, you can't put in the dryer and turn the heat on high. So, with that, we had 36 medicals, 6 structure fires, 2 exterior dumpster fires, 2 auto accidents. We're actually reduced our auto accidents significantly, 2 fire alarms, 1 public service call, and 2 odor investigations, for a total of 53. Does anybody have any questions?
He never awards this to us, does he?
Brian, did you have something?
Yeah. I just wanted to thank the fire department for, I don't know if you know, but they helped save my life about a week and a half ago, and the firefighters were fantastic, and the reaction time was, response time was fantastic, and my wife was driving back from Pleasanton and was not able to reach her by the time I had to be rushed by the ambulance to the hospital. And the firefighters actually stayed with my kids for about 15 minutes, and I can't thank you guys enough. It was a, you know, great experience, and you know, my daughters came out of it not even worried about Dad because they got to go into a fire engine. So I just want to say thank you, and you know, relay that to the guys. You know, they're doing a great job.
Our employees bend over backwards, go above and beyond on a continuous basis to serve the public. So, you know, we take that with the greatest source of pride.
You should,
and they did.
Comments from the public? Questions? Virgil.
Anyway, I just question. You have an engine that you've been working on over at 58 for a long time. One of your mechanics. Looks like he's really going to town on that. Do you know what that might be about?
No, I don't know.
Just curious.
Because it's an open spot, that's a very convenient spot for him to work. It's got a heated bay in it, so he can, you know, work and not freeze himself.
It's up on jacks, and tires are off and everything. He's been working on that for a while.
I would make one. We have a gentleman here that can get through any CHP inspection for 3 years. So if
you
need
a
little bit of help.
No.
He does, if Saturdays are open, his wife does aerobics, just, you know.
Yes, sir.
I'm curious, how many ambulances does AMR have stationed in the Brentwood, unincorporated Antioch, Oakley, that big giant area out there? I can't give you an accurate. Is it a variable number? It's a variable number. You need to remember that AMR is a for-profit corporation, so they use statisticians and they figure out when they're the busiest. Somehow they've got an equation that they use, so they use strike cars and flex cars, and they move the chess pieces in, and then they move the chess pieces out, depending on the day, the time of the day, and so forth.
Do they report in or have guidance from your office or your department at all?
No.
Are they contracted? I'm sorry, Jeff. Are they contacted with the county? Aren't they?
Yes. They have to apply for the 911 contract, which is the emergency medical service that they deliver. So you could investigate, and that's public record. You can ask for that contract.
I was going to suggest that probably more information might come at the county level. I know you're county contract, but I mean, they're not contracted through the fire department. They're contracted somehow through operations with the county, and they probably would have that information.
I understand. I was just wondering about operationally on a day-to-day basis. Do you guys know how many and where their ambulances are and how that works?
AMR makes the bulk of its money on inter-facility transfers. If you're at one hospital and you need to go to the next one, they lose money on the 911 contract. So the residents of Discovery Bay, you're actually very fortunate. You've got an AMR QRV because Discovery Bay is relatively slow, only running 46 calls the month before and 53 in January. You've got a QRV that sits there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and his only area of responsibility is Discovery Bay and Byron. So you're actually very well protected in regards to ALS care. Now, if you had an ambulance out here, would you get to the hospital a little quicker? That's debatable, but we also use a lot of medical helicopters, which gets you to the hospital at John Muir, the trauma center, even quicker. So
is a vehicle that's out here, it doesn't drag you to the hospital?
No, it's a QRV, a quick response vehicle. Sure.
Wait till you hear my direction.
Gotcha. So you get immediate ALS care, and because of its size, it's smaller, he will actually, without breaking any speed laws, get there quicker than a full-size ambulance.
Mm. Any other questions? We will tell your boss that you were here and cheerful.
And the dates are all correct, by the way.
Yeah. I didn't say a word.
I triple checked it.
Yeah, I didn't say a word.
Good thing, just be happy he doesn't ask you about employee turnover.
Kevin, how come those reports aren't emailed to us? From fire.
Which
the report he just gave us?
It could be. We never asked him.
We haven't seen you for ages.
I know. It's
on the website.
It's been a few months. He doesn't even know my name.
We didn't think
he's not calling me. Am I off the agenda? I didn't even look.
Godwin.
You are. He totally.
We never see you anymore.
They ixnayed me. Well, I hate to say it, but I am the only guy in charge of coming to your meeting and also in charge of several other things. And
you don't even wave when you drive by anymore.
Well, it might not be me that's driving by. It has been a long time since I've been out at the meeting. Not quite as long since I've been out here working for you guys. But there's training and there's just a bunch of stuff that we're responsible for. Nevertheless, we're back here now. Usually at the start of the year, everything slows down as far as extra duties just because of the weather and the amount of daylight and the way our job works. So I'd like to say you're going to be seeing a lot more of me here, at least every month, if not out on the roads. But our other guys that work out here every day are three guys that are assigned to Brentwood that are solely in charge of this east end of the county, have been working full staff for the last several months. And I have the information as far as sites and arrests, DUI arrests rather, for January and December. And over those 2 months, the Discovery Bay area, which includes all of the residential in here, as well as Highway 4 from the Old River Bridge, going out towards city limits of Brentwood. We had 224 citations issued and 17 arrests for DUI. 10 of those arrests specifically were within the residential area of Discovery Bay for the month of December. And we did run a few DUI saturations where we had extra patrols out just looking for DUIs. And the guys that work that in this end are also the guys that work patrol here every day. And one of them lives here in your guys' community, and so he knows the area very well. But that 10 within that month is more than they've had in any given month here in a long time. And then in the other months, we only had, there was two for January. So it just shows you that they were out because of the holidays probably, as well as the extra patrols got them. So I'm still trying to get the stats for you guys as far as crashes. We get this information from our division office in Vallejo. We make a request for a specific patrol beat number. Your guys' number happens to be 92. Well, we do that along with several other numbers because all of our citations get issued. They get sent in. That information also goes to division. And when we want to compile stats and put a matrix together to find out what time of day and the kind of sites that are being issued for the whole area, that information has to come from there. And as soon as you step outside of the local area of your office, you can see how the state direction is going. Now we got Jerry Brown, before we were dealing with Arnold, and one step away from here is our division, which is in Vallejo. One step away from there is headquarters, which is in Sacramento, and nobody knows what's going on up there because every day the guy in charge changes and there's a lot of shakeup. We're still trying to get the information so we can give you the crashes, because our DUI stats, these are just arrests. These don't necessarily include DUI crashes, which is the big thing we're trying to stop. That's the biggest fatal statistic is a DUI crash, and the most preventable. If we can get more DUI arrests, we can stop those fatal crashes. And I know months ago you guys had asked for that, and we're still trying to get that. But like I said, it's somewhat of a nightmare trying to collect that data from the state to give it to you guys. But we are trying to get that still. So outside of that, our office is changing a little bit. We're going to 10-hour shifts on patrol, where we've been traditional 8. We run 3 shifts a day, a swing and a graveyard. The 3 guys that are assigned for day shift and 3 for swing shift that work just on this end of the county and are they go on duty from the Brentwood office there. There's no graveyard shift from there. It's only day and swing. So there is a graveyard car assigned here, but it still responds from Martinez every night. And when they switch over to 10s, they're likely to do away with that office there in Brentwood altogether. But instead of running 3 shifts a day, we're going to run 6 shifts a day. So every shift is going to overlap by more than an hour and a half. And that was the whole reason why we put this in out here, was because our response time out here, first of all, was so long to come from Martinez at shift change. And second of all, the guys that live out here enjoy working out here. We have guys in our office that transfer in all the time. Every 3 months, transfers come in, and we get a half a dozen guys from Southern California, maybe a half a dozen guys that work down in San Jose, and they're totally comfortable with 6 lanes of freeway. And you send them out here with a cow on a 2-lane road, and they don't know what to do. They're freaking out. And it's literal, because there's areas in the state where there is no unincorporated county area within their jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. Traffic all flows the same direction. They've never seen a crash in an intersection. They've never taken a report for a stolen vehicle because there's no residential where they work. I mean, this is a whole different ball game. And because we're in the Bay Area, we tend to get the more junior guys. I've been working here for 10 years. I happen to grow up in a rural area quite a bit further north in the state. And I enjoyed working out here. That's why I worked out here so long. The other guys that work out here live out here, and they enjoy it as well. So what's going to happen when they switch to 10s is those same guys are going to work out here all the time. They're just not going to get deployed from out here. They're going to continue to work out here because it's a selection process. The most senior guy gets to choose where he wants to work.
And the guys that work out here now are fairly senior anyway. And the more senior people, they don't work out here because they don't want to. So you're going to get the same guys doing the same service with a little bit more overlap in between. And that's supposed to start sometime either April 1st to July 1st. They're either going to do it with the fiscal year or they're going to start it 2 months early. And it's a test. It's a test operation.
Is that going to help your budget?
Well, that's
in theory.
The whole department went to 12-hour shifts as a choice. Each area could vote on that. Our office happened to be like the only one in the state, I think, out of 99 offices that didn't vote for it. It required 80% vote to pass, and we had like 79.9% for every vote we ever took. So what happened was we stayed on eights. Well, now the department wants to introduce tens. 12s tend to be too long. Guys get tired. There's all kinds of other issues there. So they think maybe the tens will work. So it's gonna. I'm gonna probably look for some feedback from all you folks. If you notice a difference come April to July, you should get more officers out here because we'll have more guys on the road. Response time should be as it is now, if not better, because there'll be more guys and there'll be more of them assigned out here. But it's a test thing for 1 year. So if we start in April, it's going to go until April of 2012, and then they'll stop it, and then they'll evaluate it, and we'll go back to 8-hour shifts, and then the department will decide whether it's something they want to have statewide. So,
okay.
What will the overnight coverage go to when they go to 6 shifts?
Well, and it'll change from day to day. I know that on weekend days, they'll put out between 8 o'clock at night and 6 in the morning for the first, well, I guess from 8 to midnight, there'll be somewhere between 16 and 18 officers on the shift, where currently there's only, on a good day, 11. So theoretically, it would bump this out here by, if not one car, at least two, maybe not two way out here, but one solely out here along with the other two that are already here, and then a third or fourth one that may be assigned only between Antioch and Brentwood area. So it would definitely bump it up by at least one. Through the graveyard hour, I don't know. I haven't worked graveyard here in 10 years either, so I don't know what their numbers are going to be, but I can certainly find that out. We have a mock schedule that says how many are on deployment, so I can get that information for you guys.
Do you have something, Ray?
I guess I'm walking.
Do you guys have any questions? Can you, in a nutshell, the difference, how your responsibilities differ from the sheriff's responsibilities, and so we and the public knows, when do we go highway patrol, when do we go sheriff, or do we ever, or do we just go 911 and forget about it?
I would just go 911, because the people that answer that phone are pretty adverse on knowing what your problem is. But if it's a traffic-related issue, if it happened with your car, it's probably us.
Okay.
Crash, stolen car, calling in drunk drivers. I mean, you call in a drunk driver on your cell phone, you're not going to get a ticket for driving down the road and talking on your phone. So, because we want that call, because we want to get that drunk driver off the road. So.
I'll remember that when I get pulled over. I was calling about a drunk driver, officer, and they told me you wouldn't give me a ticket.
That's right. Tell them I said so, and they'll say, who's that? Yeah. They don't know me because they don't work out here.
Any questions from the public? Well, you know, it's great to meet you. I've actually been on the board for about 1 year and 3 months, and I don't think we've ever met before. So
really?
It might have been a while since you've been out here.
It hasn't been 1 year and 3 months, but it's maybe been a while.
Maybe we missed that date.
At least 6, probably.
Anyway, it's good to see you. Come back when you can. We appreciate you being here.
Well, have a good night.
Thank you. We don't have anybody from the EC. Chris isn't here, is he?
No.
Okay.
Can I make a comment on that?
Yeah, please do.
Okay. You know, I was looking in a paper, and they actually had an article on this meeting that we just had, and I was a little disturbed because that board was mandated to switch over from the city people to actually be elected, mm-hmm. so that we have a better representation. And they chose not to do that. They wanted to stick it out so they can do the best for their towns and forget us, basically. But that's not my point is this. Mr. Fennetti, I know he probably means well, and he's set on here to come, but he doesn't. We have a primary for the fire representative. Is that you?
Yeah, when I was at the last meeting.
But you have a set. Oh, yeah.
I was at the last meeting.
You was at the last.
I was at the last meeting.
Okay.
I didn't go to the meeting on the 31st, the one they just had, which was the which was the emergency meeting or
You know, I'm not saying you guys should make. And if you can't make it, maybe I think Brian's a secondary.
Well, Brian was actually there. He wasn't, but he's not. But he was also at the last meeting.
Well, my point is that if I think at this point, I would ask that one of our guys give this report,
What I would think that maybe be appropriate this time is for staff to actually send a letter to the supervisor's office and say that we're not really satisfied with the appointment we have because we're getting no participation or representation in East County because the representative, at least as far as we know, isn't going to the meetings. Now, he wasn't at the meeting I went to. I did look at the agenda that was put out that night. He was at the previous meeting. But still, if he's not going to the meetings and he's not coming back and reporting, we're not really getting representation, so maybe he's not the right person for the job.
Okay, until they get that cleared up, I mean, that information...
My fault, Ray, because I attended the meeting and I turned in a written report, but I didn't read it, so that was... It was the off week. That's the problem.
No, it's okay. I'm not complaining about anything.
No, that's a great idea.
Yeah, I'm just looking to have something better, so we get a report.
I will take Copus Bennett.
If you can't go, then let me know.
I will do that, and I'll take better notes, and I'll give you a report as what's going on. Basically, what went on, is that what they decided on the 31st?
Yeah, they decided.
They're not going to go public?
Not until after they go out for money. Yeah. And what's the chances of people voting for money?
Well, the way they're doing it, pretty good.
Yeah.
Because they found the loophole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
President Graves, yes.
I
forgot to mention something in my report that I think is important that I just wanted to present to the group.
Yes, sir.
I got a call from the Pantages Bay folks, and they were asking me about, you know, what impact would that community have on the sheriff's office and response times and things like that. And I threw it, you know, I had an epiphany, I threw it out, and I don't know if it can happen, but my advice to them was that they research becoming a part of the P6 group.
They have to be.
And I would think that they would have to be, too. That was my thought, is it certainly they wouldn't have approved, you know, in the middle of all these folks that are paying into the P6, a community that's not. But I throw it out to you just because I thought of this group today, and I wanted to let you know that I felt like... that makes sense.
Yeah.
No, I appreciate that. I believe that they have to be.
I don't know the exact date.
The young lady I spoke with did not know anything about the P6.
There's an exact date that the county made when they made the agreement, and it was sometime before Discovery Bay West was built, obviously. But anything built after that time,
right, is automatically P6.
That's put onto the P6.
Okay.
That's my understanding.
Okay. And I was going to talk to Bob Mankin about it because he seems to have the best grasp on that.
Thank you for that. So, Mr. Steele, are you here?
I am.
What you got for us?
I didn't see him. I thought you were talking to Christy Haynes here.
He was in the roll call. Did you hear him?
I guess I wasn't following the check marks.
Well, I don't know.
For the D,
he's not coding.
I can give it to you. My responsibility here to represent... So that I'm properly giving you guys the information.
Did I call you at the wrong time?
I'm in G. If you want to go,
go.
Yeah, but let him
go.
Let him go.
Go ahead. No, you don't have to hang around.
Okay. The trans plan, the only thing that we've done recently is cancel a meeting and then have a meeting. The last one that we ended up having had to do with the town of Pittsburgh wanting to remove themselves from the financial end of the transportation financial part. It actually got voted down by the trans plan committee because they have to be in agreement on that, and it went down, I think, 8-2, and it was both Pittsburgh vice mayor and the planning commissioner that were sitting that were in opposition to that. They gave a good argument, but it's keep it all together so that we can do our road projects together. The other thing that I have here is the Contra Costa County Planning Commission. We met on January 25th. There were some land acquisitions that happened that night. They were mandatory referrals. They are East Bay Regional Park District's property that is being acquired to them. One of the locations is off of Doolin Canyon. It's near the unincorporated area of Alameda County, but it is still in Contra Costa County. Collier Canyon and Camino Tasajara area. Also Vasco Road near Byron, there was another acquisition there, and Marsh Creek Road near the east end of Kirker Pass Road. Those were all mandatory referrals. The acreages range from 120 up to 1,030. And if anybody needed to know about that, the agenda is posted on the website. The main thing that we worked on there was the county has initiated a zoning text amendment to a part of the wind energy conservation systems. It's chapter 88-3 that regulates the development of commercial and residential wind generation. We do have four of those plants in the area. If you guys have noticed, since about the middle of December, they have been offline. Unfortunately, I'm all about green and I'm ticked that they're not spinning. But I think maybe some of it has to do with what's going on here, because some of their licenses to generate power are in an expiring and need to make application for repower. Some of those are in our county area, some of them are in Alameda, but there are, one has already been repowered. They are in the process of, it looks like two more of the three remaining wind power companies are going to be coming to the board or to the Planning Commission requesting that they refire those up. And in the time that they're doing that, they're going to be tearing down all the old wind generations, the ones that look like they were put up with erector sets. Those are all coming down. They're all worn out. They're being replaced with equipment that is, there will be less wind generation turbines, but they will be taller. And in the process of them being taller, the rotor spans are bigger, and the text amendments that they need to make are partly because the initial chapter was put together back in 85, and it didn't account for the bird strike problem that we've been having. The setbacks on them were thinking that they were never going to be taller than 200 feet, and the new ones stand 400 feet, and the rotors are wider. So what happened was the county noticed that when the first one came in, they were having a tough time getting compliance with changing out, say, 100 of the smaller ones for 50 of the bigger ones, because it created a setback problem that, because of the height, if you had to go three times the height to stay away from a property line and stay away from roads and stuff, it got excessive. So the county actually initiated this. The proposal had a lot of really good changes that were going to happen that gave more flexibility to being able to get the mass that we have there in a more positive environment setup. I mean, with the bigger pieces of equipment, they're also taking into account the migration paths of the birds, which cause them to have to move a little bit. The birds have a tendency to follow a certain track, and we've never been able to understand that as well as we do now. Well, when you move out of that area, you've got to give some flexibility in those setbacks. So those were the changes. We will probably see a lot of that construction and destruction happen over this year, and I don't know how quickly it's going to happen, but I do know that the next two are supposed to be in front of the county in March, and that was basically all that we had there.
Thank you. Any questions from the board? I believe we have a copy of that report, don't we, Rick?
The draft EIR is in the back of the room.
Yeah, we have it. If anybody's interested, it's a very small report. It's only about that thick. And there's artist renditions and pictures with regards to everything that Dwayne just spoke of back there for review, if anybody would like to take a look at it. Any questions from the public on that? Thank you for your report. Staff, if I could, would you permanently move that report up to the presentation out of the agenda in the future, so he does his presentations with the other outside agencies that come in, because the other reports tend to be reports given by directors at meetings that they attend, and so I think it'd just be good to have all those at the same place.
Also, we should check with council. Do we need to make any notification that we had this report out of order on our agenda?
No. Part of the jobs of the president are to run the meetings, and he can move things around.
Okay, that's why I'm sure we're strictly.
Thank you. I intended to do that, Mark. Thank you. What else? Oh, I will let you know that I received an email from Karen from Supervisor People's office today. She didn't have much to report, and so she chose. She said that she's sorry that she had to miss tonight, but she had some other things that she needed to take care of. And she will be giving us a report again next month. So no report from the supervisor's office tonight. Consent calendar.
I'll make a motion that we approve the consent calendar.
Second.
Any discussion? Discussion by the public. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried unanimously. Okay, new business and action items. Number one, establishment of ad hoc committees. And this goes to, is this something you want to talk about, Rick, or should I talk about it?
Just real briefly, I'll talk and turn it right back over to you, okay. Mr. President. The this is a generation of an action from the workshop on the 22nd, where the board requested staff return back to this meeting with the creation of three ad hoc committees for when the community center, the fiscal 2011-2012 budget review committee, and a communications committee, and to appoint board members to sit on the budget and the communications committee. The community center committee currently has directors Tetro and Steele on the committee, already previously appointed to that responsibility. But I'm also recommending that we disband the existing community center committee. It's been quite some time since that committee has met. We've got a changeover in the board, we've got a change in staff, and I think it's probably prudent at this time to not necessarily start over from scratch, but start over from a basis, from a new starting point moving forward.
I agree with that, and I would entertain a motion by the board to disband or discontinue or whatever. It was a standing committee, so we have to do that. Is that correct, counsel?
I'm not certain whether it was a standing committee or an ad hoc committee, but if it was, you can okay. disband it as recommended.
I would entertain a motion to do that, and just a comment on that. I think it'd probably be the right thing to do at this point. That committee really became stagnant. The complexion of the board has changed. The members of that committee are no longer part of the committee. So I would entertain a motion to disband.
I'll make that motion. Make a motion we disband the standing community center committee.
You have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, that motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion by the board? Any discussion by the public? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Rick, did you have more?
My only other comments would be that the other two committees, it would be recommended that the board select two of your own to sit on that committee, and at that point in time, we can determine if the board's pleasure. How you would want those committees to be constituted.
Right. I think that all three of these committees should be established. My opinion is that all these three committees should be established as ad hoc committees. I want them to be committees that are that meet with the intent of inviting the public to be a part of the committees and have input with regards to the recommendations that those committees will bring back to the board. And so with that, I think it would be a good idea to probably set up an assignment for who those board members would be for those committees. I think it's agreed, although I think we should, we've already voted for assignment. So with regards to the Community Center Committee, that has already been set up. So the only other two committees we need to talk about are the Budget Committee and the Communication Committee.
Okay, we need to have some discussion here, because when I asked for this, I don't know if you put on the agenda, this is not what I asked for.
What did you ask for?
I believe that there should be residents on these committees as advisory role only. I mean, we can have a meeting anytime we want with people come sitting at a meeting and get up and make comment, but I don't believe that is the spirit of how I wanted to see this. In the vein of transparency, and I hate to keep using that word, but in the vein of transparency, I would like to be able to go back, especially during a budget. This is going to be the ugliest budget we ever do this year, and there's going to be a major rate increase. And I believe having two qualified residents, and by qualified, I mean there'll be a vetting process. There'll be residents that will apply for this position, and again, it's an advisory position. And I believe by having two respected residents on this committee, along with the board and staff, when it comes time to present this raise to the public, you'll have residents say, we sat on this committee, and yes, this is a viable raise. This is necessary. We have to have it right now. We don't have a lot of credibility with the public, with the residents. Everybody thinks that we do what we want to do, and I'd like to see, if we're going to change a committee to an ad hoc, I'd like to see at least two residents on those two committees.
There, anybody have any comments about that?
I would like to make a brief comment and then probably have more later. On, are you talking about all three committees or just
on the budget and on the community center? I would like, and my thinking on the community center is we have residents in this town that are highly skilled in property negotiation and property management.
That's not what the committee's for.
The committee is to find out whether we can do a community center, and knowing how you're going to be able to manage it and how you're going to buy property and what you need to pay and what you can afford to pay is going to be a huge part of that. And I think that we have residents that are qualified to help us with that.
I would like to have time to confer with my fellow representative. We're called representatives on this.
Yeah, one of the committees.
Whatever. Mr. Steele, and come up, because we've had this standing committee for how long? Never met? Well, it's kind of a reason. There hasn't been anything to meet with. So to set a committee, to me, is not, I'm not sure I want to do that. I don't want to waste anybody's time, but I think we'll do it. But I would ask on that one. On the others, I think, is a different story. But on that particular one, I would like if you would give us the latitude of coming back later.
Council, how should we handle this? We have some discrepancies in what we want to do. Should we handle these committees individually then at this point? Because obviously they're not all going down the same road.
It's up to you, but obviously if there's not going to be unanimity on all of them, you may want to break it up individually.
So let me understand. Ray, I don't mean to put words in your mouth. Let me try to understand what you're saying. At this point, you're okay with an ad hoc committee with two board members until you decide what directly and exactly how you want to constitute that committee and put it together and move forward?
Perfectly put.
Okay. I think that so then the only one you have a problem with is the budget committee, so you don't see any problem with doing that with the communication committee either.
If that's what everyone wants to do, it's fine. I'm just voicing my opinion, and
I know I understand. I do take exception to the continued use of the word transparency because it insinuates that there isn't any, and I don't understand that personally because since I've been on the board, we haven't there. I don't understand where this lack of transparency has been.
Well, I can tell you that in the last year, not one member of this board, with the exception of you and Director Pipo, had a clue what was going on in the community center because nobody was told what.
And Mark, you were in two closed sessions with regards to the community center, and so I take exception to the fact that you didn't have a clue what was going on.
Okay, hold on. Let me tell you what the two meetings were. One of them we were surprised with. We're going out to look at buying a piece of property, which we knew nothing about because that meeting came from Pipo's office. And the second one was that we were going to authorize the general manager to go ahead and make that bid. That's the only two meetings we had in closed session. That's the only thing we heard about the community center the entire year. I'm not blaming you, you weren't on the committee. But that's the entire year went by, that's all we heard about. The year before that, nothing.
Okay.
So to me, we owe the people that live in this town an explanation of what we're doing about whether you're going to build it or not build it.
I agree. When we don't know that.
I understand. That's what I want to find out.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
So let's, go ahead, Chris.
Ray and I are going to get together after this meeting and we're going to work on our plans, including a feasibility study, and how we're going to move forward to acquire the tools and the resources necessary to put a community center together. And so Ray and I have talked about this, and we're going to bring in the public input on this. But we can't do it all tonight. So that's where we're starting at today.
Okay. With regards
let's
to communication.
On
Let's talk about the communications committee, and. Obviously, we aren't all looking at this from the same perspective. But what I see happening, what I thought I heard come out of the workshop, was that we wanted to establish these committees to facilitate the involvement of the public in the decision-making processes that go on with regards to specifically the budget, the community center, and communication with the public, whether that be through enhanced use of the website, whether it be through signs out in the public or whatever that is. But it was a concern, one of the three major concerns that came out of the workshop. My understanding is that what we're doing is we're going to put together an ad hoc committee that would facilitate the ability for two members of the board to get together with members of the public and get input and come up with recommendations that would then come back to the board. None of these committees have any decision-making authority. They're strictly advisory committees to the board. So that was my understanding of what we're going to move forward with. Apparently that's how the community center, which is the only appointed committee at this point, wants to move forward. Do we need to confirm that?
Just a point of order. At the last meeting, you appointed various assignments for board representatives. One of them was for the community center, and you had one member as the appointed and one as the alternate.
Very good point. Yeah. What? Okay. So let's start with community center number one. The board has to form the committee. I can't, as the president, I cannot form the committee. So the board has to agree on what the committee is going to be. So let's deal with the first two that seem to be uncontested issues first, and say with regards to the community center and the communications committee, is it I propose that the board make a motion to establish those committees as ad hoc committees that would be used to facilitate the involvement of the public in the decision-making process going forward with those two committees.
This is going to be in lieu of the representation committee that we've already put together?
No, there isn't one for those two issues. Those are neither one of those are listed in representation. Oh, I'm sorry. In lieu of. Please move forward with the motion.
Okay, I need to ask you this, because if this is in lieu of, or if this is in...
No, it's not going to be.
Because you've already got two guys on this.
As representatives to the community center, but there's no committee. That committee was disbanded. We have to now make a new one. It's nothing fancy. Trust me on this.
I can tell.
Okay. Do I have a motion as stated, or is that a proper...
Two things, Mr. President. First of all, you need to allow the public to...
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
Second of all, if I may, for an ad hoc committee, it has limited jurisdiction, so you will need to identify what the committee is to look at and then respond back to the board.
We're going to start with the community center committee, then, and we will be specific on that. Do we make the motion before the discussion or after the discussion?
After.
Discussion from the public on this, please. We're talking about the community center committee strictly at this point. Because we're getting bogged down. Yes, sir.
Barber. We got all night.
Yes, sir, John.
So my thoughts are directed toward the community center committee, but could be applied forward. Maybe.
Understood.
So as I understand it, two members will be selected. And I think you should go forward with an understanding that those two members will engage a certain number of members of the public to be on that committee to then go forward and do the work of that committee that's assigned by the board. And I think that should be clearly stated and understood. And I think that's important because as I see this next year or a couple years ramping up, there's lots of things to do. And this board is quite limited. And if the board is able to reach out, pull people into these committees and get some ownership of those people to really want to participate to a significant way, pull in their own personal expertise, and you'll select the correct people to do that, this board is going to be able to accomplish so much more than just having limited directors trying to do all the work. And I think, you know, maybe that augments the statement of transparency with more horsepower on these committees to do more real and tangible work. And I don't think it needs to be limited just to the community center committee. I know that's what you're talking about now. But I think it needs to be understood that you're going to go out and select some people, whatever the number, make that decision now, and then bring those people in. And that's how you can bring people in and get involved in this overall process and maybe have more and more people want to get interested in this board on a go-forward basis. And I think... You know, I can sit here and list a half a dozen committees that probably could use that amped up ability to come in and hit the ground running and make things happen. Thank you.
Any other comments?
Well, I would echo what Jeff said. And also, I may be wrong about this, but my understanding is if you have a two-member committee made up of board members, there's no requirement that meetings be held publicly and they be agendized and that happen. And so then there's the concerns about lack of transparency. So I think it's critical that you make the committee, form it in a way that ensures that the meetings will be public meetings.
Any other comments? Okay. we need to give direction and define the purpose of the committee and when that purpose is completed in order for it to be an ad hoc committee. Ray, would you like to state that since you are the lead representative that was designated for that?
Can I get some clarification first from legal, maybe?
Absolutely.
Okay. We had a couple of things thrown out by Mr. Barber and number one is, I think we should, before we make this vote, and it will be the template for the other two, is establish a number we set for the committee, because I don't think we should have, you know,
100.
Each one have 100. Their own number. So be it 5 or whatever, you know, 3 or 5, whatever we decide. Members for these committees, maximum.
Okay.
That I'm just throwing that out there yet. And on the part about the public, are ad hoc committees public meetings?
First of all, the Brown Act identifies what a legislative body is, and those bodies, when they meet, are required to be in compliance with the Brown Act, notice, etc.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the definition of a legislative body, it expressly excludes an ad hoc committee that's advisory in nature only, with limited jurisdiction, made up of only, in your case, 2 board members. So to that extent, if you created it that way, that committee would by law not be required to comply with the notice procedures of the Brown Act. However, you could also...
Can be, though. Right?
Yes. Yeah. The Brown Act just has the limitations, you know, the bottom line. Mm-hmm. However, you can create an ad hoc committee, just as I described, and require it to meet in accordance with the notice procedures under the Brown Act.
Okay, so that I propose it be public, but you can't slap my hand if I don't have the words right. Anyway, because I would like everybody to be able to come to the meeting, so we'll do that. But so I guess what how many people do you think do we feel should be on a committee? On the
well,
total.
Once you establish that you're going to have a board of more than the 2 board members.
Correct.
You are defining that meeting as being a Brown Act compliant meeting. Yes, you are.
No, you said no.
It's board members.
I'm saying board members.
Once you define that you're going to appoint public to the board, then it becomes a Brown Act compliant board.
That's
not that
correct.
There's anything wrong with that. I'm just stating the facts.
You send an ad hoc committee.
No, if you don't appoint.
Oh, you don't appoint.
Once you appoint
So we don't appoint them. Okay, I can deal with that. We just ask for participation from the public. We will have our meetings, which I still will open it to the public, and we will select members of the public that will work with us on this,
yeah,
but not be on the committee.
Okay.
Is that what we're saying?
Let me just say first of all, let's define the purpose. The purpose of the community center committee is to
establish the next strategy. You know, where do we go from here based on where we left off last time? Once we come up with that, then we can then determine what needs we have for resources and that thing. So it's a moving target, I believe.
I would say that the purpose of the committee is to investigate what resources are available to the town through our own through whatever resources are there, whether it be Hoffman's, the county's, or ourselves. Look at the options and possibilities of where a community center could be established, and then bring those recommendations to the board. It has to be definite to be to establish a committee. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. It just has to be a defined statement like that.
We've been there, but I don't have a problem with coming back with a report. That would be a good place to start first.
And that would be the purpose of the committee, is to bring back those recommendations then to the board, so the board could take action.
Well,
or not.
Basically a status is what you're asking for.
Are we okay there, Council, with that definition?
As you defined, there's an end point.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to get to.
It may be what I can do is when the committee comes back, It can also provide other recommendations, and you may extend it.
I'm sorry, Chris. Did you have some input on that? I apologize.
The purpose of the Community Center Committee is to establish a feasibility study and bring recommendations to the board. Feasibility and study will encompass a lot of different things.
All these things.
It's going to be a lot of these different, pieces to it. But that's what we're going to do, and we're going to make a recommendation. This is the plan on how you need to have a community center.
Good. Thank you. Well said. Okay, so that tells us the purpose, and that gives us the time frame. Correct, Council? So now we're ready to move forward with appointing the two board. Well, what we haven't established yet is whether we are going to appoint member. Is the composition of this? This is convoluted. We haven't established what type of committee this is going to be. Then is this going to be a committee that's going to have two seated board members with that facilitate the input and concern and take advantage of the professionalism of the town, or is it going to be a committee where we seat board, where we go through an interview process or an appointment process, and we then take recommendations from people in the town and appoint them to seats on the board? Those are two definite. We have to determine that at this point, don't we, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. So we need to determine for your committee how that's going to move forward. Because we haven't assigned you yet, for the Community Center Committee, how that's going to move forward.
What's your take?
I'm thinking it's two of us and maybe up to, you know, six individuals outside the community.
To sit on the board or to be part of the committee?
To be a part of the committee.
Kevin, I promise not to talk the rest of the meeting, can I make one more comment?
Well, we're still talking.
When we get done discussing, I'll open it back up. Don, I'll give you a chance to speak again, okay?
Okay, because I have a helpful comment.
Yeah.
See, I think eight's big. It gets cumbersome.
Oh, I guarantee you one thing. We're not gonna vote to seat eight people on the board. We may vote for that, but I don't see that passing.
Well, you may not vote, but we don't know.
What I'm saying. But I think that's ridiculous. I said at the very most. First of all, you don't want to have an even number. That'd be the first thing.
My comment, if I could finish.
You end up in a stalemate.
Hold on a second.
I agree with you.
Okay.
I'd like to see less.
Because you're saying they're not seated members, and I'm hearing him saying they are seated members. So I'm getting.
Can we go back to being a board again for just a second?
Yeah. Mark, go for it.
Go ahead.
I suggest five.
The number I like.
I think five. Okay, so you're going to have citizens on there.
Yes.
Which I have questions about. But if you're going to do it, then it should be five, I think.
Appointed.
Okay, so here we are, guys. Here's the question.
Let's make them run for election.
Here's the question that we need to take a vote on. And I don't know if that's the proper way to do it, Council, so let me know when I go astray. And so
sign language now?
So this means this is not an ad hoc, this is a standing
committee. No, it's an ad hoc committee still, but it's just an ad hoc committee. Okay, but time out. So the question is this committee going to be a committee of two board members with the community's involvement, or is it going to be a committee of five board members with three members of the public seated on the board? That's the question. Okay?
We need to slow down for a second.
Can we have more than two board members? Okay. I mean, it's already going to be a
meeting. Well, you guys are
done
all talking. We're all doing this back and forth. If somebody's going to speak, let somebody speak. Let them finish what they're saying, and then we'll move on to the next person. Let them finish, because this is like a third grade here. If we put two board members and three residents on the committee, and you vet these three people, and you get three people with expertise in this exact framework of a community center, would be plenty. And the three residents will be for advisory only. If we do this without putting residents, actually assigning them onto this committee, then you're going to have people say, if I feel like going to the meeting next Monday, I'll go. If I feel like going to the other, I'll go. If I don't feel like that, I might, or I might stand up and make a comment, I might not. They'll have nothing invested in. If you actually have a committee that's looking for an outcome.
So you're saying that dangling a carrot in front of them to get them to motivate
that. I'm not talking about dangling a carrot. I know there's people that would come down, and if they knew that there was a goal in mind, they would come down and get involved.
Okay. My Okay, what?
I have a question for Lee. If it three people plus the two directors, that's five. That's now a Brown Act meeting, right? Now, if three of the public citizens, not the directors, are, say, out in public talking about the committee's work, is that a serial meeting?
Yes.
Potentially, because whoever is on that committee will be subject to the Brown Act.
That's the killer for me.
I know. It happens all the time.
It's a killer.
You guys can vote any way you want to vote. I'm just putting up because I think it needs to be out there. If you guys want to vote it down, vote it down.
I like the suggestion of two board members and three citizens
as a committee,
and we'll meet often and regularly, and it'll be a public meeting, and it'll be very transparent. It'll be an open book on the community center.
Okay.
Can we at least make sure that those citizens who are not board members get a copy or some kind of link to the Brown Act?
I would strongly recommend if you have, whether it's one, two, or three members of the community, that they be made aware of their responsibilities and what the Brown Act requires.
That'll be our first job.
Yeah. That being the case, Mark, you like that idea?
Beautiful.
Okay.
Beautiful.
So I don't think we need to have to discuss any further because I'm hearing that the majority of the board would want to go that way. And I'm fine with that. I just wanted clarification.
Hallelujah.
And so that being the case, the board structure now is going to be a seated board of five that will include no less than two board members. Or it will include just two, no more than two board members, or no less than two. Two board members it will include. Very good. Okay, that being said, I would entertain a motion to establish that committee by the board.
If I may, Mr. President,
yes,
listening, may I frame the motion?
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay. That the board creates an ad hoc committee for the community center whose purpose is to put together a feasibility study and report back to the board, and that the composition of the board or the committee be two board members and three members of the community.
I will so make that motion.
And will somebody so
I'll second it.
Thank you.
I'll so second it.
Very good. The motion has been made and seconded. I would now entertain comments from the public. Mr. Richardson, Don, I promised you the opportunity, or did we cover it?
I will reserve my right to talk later. Thanks.
I didn't say that. Yes, sir.
I hesitate to make this suggestion, but each committee should decide what skills it needs to do its job.
That's going to be the next part.
And pick the people who have those skills, and that would determine the size of the committee. That's really where you need to start. What skills do you need for the community center committee? If one citizen has all of them, which is very unlikely, you need one. If you need more citizens who have the requisite skills, you need more. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments? Board, do you have any comments? It's a good point, Mr. Richardson. I think we unfortunately steamrolled right past that point at this juncture, but thank you.
Let me ask this, because I was going to bring this up. We cannot discuss what the makeup of the committee is going to be until we decide to have the committee. Is that correct? Once we vote on having this committee, then we can decide what their duties are going to be.
No.
Pursuant to your policies and the bylaws, all committee appointments, etc., are made by the president, subject to approval of this board.
No, I understand. But once we have decided there's going to be a five-man board, then we can decide what the process is for the residents that we want to bring onto the board. Okay, that's
yes, sir.
Oh,
okay. Hearing no. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to say that I've been sitting at these meetings and listening to this poor old beat-down community center topic for 4 years, and I would just like to thank you for moving forward and talking about transparency and stating it clearly exactly what the committees are going to be and saying that you're going to notice it, and for one, I'm very thankful that you're moving in that direction. Thank you.
Thank you. Hearing no more comments, I would now I'm sorry, one more? Yes?
No.
Oh.
Maybe.
Okay. All those in favor of establishing the Community Center Committee as defined, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Amen. So at this point, as the president, I would make the motion that Director Tetro and Director Steele be the two board members on that committee, and I would ask for any comments from the board on that. Any comments from the public? I need board approval. All those in favor say aye.
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 You needed a first motion.
Yeah, that's right. I can't just do that. You know, I'm a tyrant by nature. I'm sorry. I need a motion and a second before I can do that, guys.
I make a motion to have Director Tetro and Director Steele sit on the Community Center Committee.
I'll second. Okay. Now, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Before
aye.
My only concern, and it's not a super big deal, is if these are the only two guys on the committee at this point, can they even talk to each other about the community center until they add more
it's
members
a good question,
to the committee?
Council?
The committee is comprised of five members. You currently have two. Technically, you cannot have a quorum of them unless there are three under the Brown Act.
Yep.
So
they can't
you,
talk.
They can talk.
They can't.
No, they cannot.
So how do they move forward with the committee to
you know,
appoint?
What I was going to suggest earlier was that you not form the committee, you let these guys come back and make a recommendation at another meeting.
If they're not a quorum, they can't talk.
Wait, why did we just go through all this?
I don't know. You tell us.
I had this issue come up with another client.
Good.
They had a five-member board, and they had three vacancies, and they wanted to meet in order to deal with the issue. Technically, since there were only two members of the board, a quorum of the board would be both of them. However, under the Brown Act prohibits a meeting unless there is a quorum of the legislative body, which meant three, and thus they could do nothing.
We just put ourselves in a hole.
No, you can decide it here.
By the five-man board.
Or you can, I'm sorry, what?
We can decide it by this board, though, can't we?
You can make a recommendation to the president that he appoint three particular individuals. You could.
But that takes the whole theory of finding the most qualified individuals to be on the board out of play.
If I may address that, it would be my recommendation that once we go through the process for, we determine what the process is going to be here, and it seems like we've done that with the Community Center Committee, that we end up sending out a notice to the community inviting members of the community to participate in the process, solicit a letter of interest and what are your qualifications, and then bring them back to the board, and then the board can then determine if they want to interview those people, if they want to appoint them, from based upon that process.
So then the board is going to end up determining who the other three people are that are going to be on that committee. Yeah, this is
it's such a bad thing.
Well, yeah.
Why is that a bad thing?
I mean, if we're going to do it.
For all three.
It's a good thing.
Okay.
Why is that a bad thing?
It's just a time-consuming task.
Yeah, nothing better to do.
You may not, Mark, Simon, but I do. But anyway.
Mr. President,
yes,
I may have a solution to your quandary.
That would be wonderful.
You can go back, create the ad hoc committee with only two board members, and their initial task is to come back with a recommendation of expanding it with adding three members and who they should be.
Oh boy, do I love that.
There's a good one right there. Let's use that.
Because you guys have to work with them.
Yeah.
I mean, you it should be your choice, not our choice.
I think that was a good point there.
Is that true? Okay, what do we need to do at this point to get that to happen?
Redo the motion for the community center as an amendment, reducing the number from five to two, and it be comprised of the two board members you've identified.
And then we'll go from there. Okay.
Will somebody make that motion?
I will revise my motion to make it a member up to two instead
of five. Amend the motion.
Amend it to
Thank
two
you.
To five, from five to two.
And who made the second?
I'll second it.
I did, and I'll second it. And
you can second the amendment, so we're in order, correct? Okay.
Now we have
no way.
This isn't my fault. I mean, it really isn't.
No, but you had your chance. We're here now. I'm not going to go backwards.
A Mr. President, if he is going to be commenting on this particular motion, I think he would have the right.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I'm trying to be helpful. The thing that council said was, okay, good point.
Make it official.
The council made the point that the first task should be directed to expand the committee to five. That's what I understood. Okay. That ought to be part of the motion then.
I agree.
I'll move. So moved.
So seconded.
Do we need any clarification on that motion, or can we pull that off? And
Board Secretary, excuse me, Board Secretary, are you clear on the motion?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That was an oversight, Miss. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Good deal. You know, I would suggest at this point that we make that same motion with regards to the community center and the budget committee. Communications and budget committee. Do we need to do them separately?
Yeah.
Well, because you're going to have to discuss.
Well, I understand. So first of all, I would entertain that same motion from a board member as soon as I ask for discussion.
I have a motion for the communications committee. So if you want to go to the public, and when we talk about that, we have to have the scope, right? And then we put the
okay.
new members on it.
That's true.
And then we go forward.
Go ahead. And
well, don't you have to go to the public?
Why don't you share your thoughts?
Yeah, the ad hoc. Share the definition of the ad hoc committee for the communication.
To study communication techniques and explore education opportunities and bring back to the board ideas to improve communication between the district and citizens and ways to educate the public on the district.
And, okay, is that adequate, counsel?
I believe so.
Okay, is there any discussion? Is that clear to the board? Is it clear to, would the public like to comment on that, or is that clear to the public? Or any of the above? Okay, at this point, since we've defined the duties of the ad hoc committee, I would now entertain a similar motion with regards to structure and composition as I did for the community center.
Do we need to put the two members on it first?
No, we first need to establish the structure.
Since I think I remember, I'll make it.
Okay.
I'll make a motion that we establish a communications committee comprised of two ad hoc, two-member committee member with the first task of looking to expand to a total of five.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Very good. Motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion from the public?
I would like to take the word looking out of that sentence.
Okay. Don, we're good. The motion is to appoint to fill the board of five. That would be what we're trying to accomplish here. Is that what you're concerned about?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
It's okay.
Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Great. We have now have a communications ad hoc committee. Now it's we need to get recommendations for members on that committee. Personally, I would like to be on that committee myself.
So would I.
Anybody else?
I'd like to be on that committee.
Okay. So Mr. Counsel, is this my responsibility to make a decision as to who's on the committee or to make a recommendation to the board? Or how do we handle this? We have three of it, and there's two openings.
As I pointed out earlier, under your bylaws and your policies, the appointments are made by the president subject to approval of the board. You, Mr. President, can take suggestions or recommendations however you want to do it.
Well, I want to be on the committee. I think it's an important thing that I get involved with, especially as the president of the board. But any comments from you guys on this?
We'll wait here for your guidance.
Yeah, perfect. I love that. So I get to make. I guess what I need to do is to pick two and make a motion and see if it floats. Make a recommendation and see if it floats. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I would recommend that Chris Steele and I be on that committee together, and that would be the first vote that we would make. Any discussion from the board?
You need a motion.
I do need a motion. Well, yes, that's my recommendation. I have to ask for discussion first, don't I? Okay. Any discussion from the public on that? Now I'd entertain a motion. If there's no motion, then I guess it dies. Is there a motion?
Somebody making a motion?
Make a motion.
Is there a motion for that recommendation or not?
I'll make a motion for you.
Well,
I'll make a motion that Chris Steele and Kevin Graves
be the two
board members on the communications committee.
I'll make the second.
Okay, the motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The budget committee. I would entertain a motion for the same. We need to define the budget committee, ad hoc committee. We need a definition for that. Do you want to do that, Mark?
Basically, the budget committee is going to be set up similar to the community center. I believe there should be three residents on it.
Right. No, I mean from. Okay. I would entertain a motion to establish the ad hoc budget committee to work with staff to establish the budget for the upcoming fiscal year.
That's a given.
Well, it has to be stated as a definite thing for the to meet the.
Well, I make the motion.
And am I missing something, Counselor? You're reaching for the mic.
Their job would be to do what you said and then make a
recommendation back to the board. That's the important. It has to have a finite. It has to be stated a certain way. Okay, I'd entertain that motion.
I'll second it. I'll make that motion.
Thank you. Can I get a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you. So the motion has been made and seconded. Is there any discussion from the public?
Point of clarification, Mr. President.
Yes.
This ad hoc committee is for the 2011-2012 budget year. Correct.
That is correct. Mike, did you have something you want to say?
Yeah, I just recommend that the board expand that a little bit to include looking at other facets of how that budget is created, how actuals are reported against it. For example, open commitments. You guys have approved projects, and it's hard to see from the actuals, you know, what your outstanding legal obligations are with respect to the rest of the budget. I'm just trying to say perhaps you should expand the committee's definition to include looking at ways to present it to the board and to the public.
You're too smart for me, Mike. I don't get it. Does somebody want to restate my motion in a way that
if I may, Mr. President, I believe the broadness of the scope would include all of those items you just mentioned.
Okay.
Thank you, though. And my intention is that it would include all those items. I just wouldn't know how to state it any more clearly than that. But and when I say budget, I'm talking both capital budget and operations budget. So it's all encompassing of the entire budget process. And, you know, there's obviously going to be quite a bit of not only history to look at, but projections to look at. That's all part of putting the budget together. Where are we going to go with it in the next? So it's meant to be all encompassing, and then bring those recommendations back to the board for the budget process. Would staff be?
Staff is on it.
Would not be on the board. They're there for advisory.
Thank you.
I help you.
The staff is just your support.
Okay. All right. Very good. Then, Ray, you want to give it another shot to structure the committee?
Sure.
Can we just say we're going to structure this committee just as we have the previous two committees? Do we have to read it out?
As long as the board secretary is comfortable with repeating that language and doesn't have
okay.
any issues.
Then
I'll make
a motion
that we echo the
establishing
this committee as we did the other two.
I'll second it.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded for the budget committee to be established the same way, and that would be with two board members on an ad hoc committee, and the positions, their first action to be filling the next three positions. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
And there's a nay. So we have a motion. we have established three committees. We have established. Oh, I need to appoint. I'm sorry. So, I would think that it would be reasonable to. Okay, I would. It would be my recommendation to appoint Ray Tetro and Mark Simon to the budget committee. Is there anybody? Is there anybody else that would like to be on the budget? Is anybody else with? There's my tyrant in me coming out again. Anybody want to be on the budget committee that besides? I know Ray does because he's been. Mark, you do? Chris, Brian. Okay. Well, then my recommendation to the board is that Ray and Mark be seated board members on that committee. Any discussion? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Well, I kind of looked out there. Did everybody understand that I was looking at you for comment? Public have any comments?
You need a motion and a second.
I always forget that.
I'll make the motion. No, I'm not going to make it.
Chris, make.
I'll make the motion.
And I will second it. Can I second? Yeah, my recommendation? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Okay. Wow. We got through number one. Number two, Town of Discovery Bay, fiscal year 2010-2011, operating and capital budget mid-year summary report. That would be a staff thing.
Yeah, you got to call. Tell what?
What's that?
Doran.
I don't mean to step out of line, but did we have a unanimous vote on these last two?
We didn't. On the establishment of the committee, we had one nay vote.
Okay.
And that should be indicated. Carol, you know,
yes.
you like
Director
okay.
Dawson.
And
Vice
then,
President.
And the last one, it was unanimous. Thank
okay.
you.
And what about the one before?
That was unanimous.
It was unanimous.
It was unanimous.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
That was a difficult process with respect to the procedure, and you guys did a good job getting through it. The next item is the mid-year 2010-2011 operating capital improvement budget. I want to start off by saying that we're in very tight fiscal times. This is a very tight budget we're in right now. I'm somewhat nervous as to where it's going to lead us, but I'm pleased to see that after spending a considerable amount of time looking at the numbers, that I think that we will reach our revenue and our expenditure projections. In order to do that, however, it's going to take some budget modifications and some budget amendments that I will be bringing back to the board at a later date. So with that said, our projected revenues of $4.9 million are marginally expected to exceed our original projections by approximately $55,000. Now, it's a pretty small number, but in the big scheme of things, $55,000 for us is a lot of money. On the expenditure side, I expect that we will probably, let me start over here. On the expenditure side, we're expected to reach $4.06 million, or about $130,000 over the adopted budget of $3.697 million. On the capital side, I am going to bring back at a later date a budget amendment that will amend the capital budget from $1,015,000 to $640,000, which would put us in the current fiscal year ending at the end of the year with approximately $300,000 to the good, and that includes revenues and any amendments that might take place. And there are three areas of concern on the operating side that I have. Let me go back to the revenues. Revenues are tracking very, very well. I'm very happy with the revenue projections. We've gotten pretty much all of our revenues in from the county, and things along in the county revenues from tax rolls have been coming in according to plan, and that's pretty good. But on the expenditure side, we do have three areas. The first area is our maintenance account. Basically, it's that 7300 account that you're all familiar with. We bumped that up this past year, I believe, by $150,000. Well, it looks like we're going to blow through that probably in the next month or two. and we've already exceeded as of December 31. We spent about $350,000 of the $500,000 that are allocated to that line item. The big two big items in there, we replaced two oxidation ditch rotors over at plant one. Each one of those was, Virgil, what I believe, about $35,000-$37,000 each.
Wasn't replaced, but they were repaired.
Repaired, yes, I'm sorry. About $37,000 each. Kind of an unanticipated expense on the other thing, the other item that hits that very hard are the number of water leaks and just the number of maintenance issues that take place. You know, our infrastructure is getting older and older, especially in this part of town. We don't have as many issues over on the northwest part of town, but we certainly do over here. The corrosive soils just take a beating. Our underground infrastructure takes a beating with the corrosive soils, and every time the weather changes, with the contracts and expands, once the soils get in there and get corrosive on the metals, they have a tendency to break away and create leaks. And I notify you regularly. We have a leak here and a leak there, and some of you have been out to see that. I will be bringing back a budget amendment on that account to increase it by $250,000. So it looks like we will probably be, if our projections are right around between $700,000 and $750,000 by year's end. The second area of concern is utilities. That's something we don't really have a too much of control over as well. We are currently on the sewer side, we will approach approximately $370,000, which is $40,000 over the adopted budget of $325,000, and on the water side, about $35,000 over budget. So for a total of approximately $80,000 is where we're tracking right now. And as of the mid-year number, we were at $382 of $625,000, which was 61%. So it's pretty easy to do the math. And while we do have some moderating expenses during the cooler winter months and more expensive during the summer months, we spend a lot of time tracking, looking at prior year's actuals. You know, we think that we're going to be probably a little bit over for this current fiscal year. Moving on, the third area of concern, I think, is the cost of the chemicals in our odor materials for our wastewater treatment plant, is in our chemicals that treat our water here at Willow Lake, as well as over at Newport. And we are tracking at about a $95,000, $95,000 to $100,000 rate on that. And we have $65,000 budgeted, so we're looking at an additional $35,000 there. On the capital side, we've been spending a lot of time on finishing up the UV Trojan Plus system. We did the Discovery Point Sewer Main Project, completed well number 6, and it's pretty standard and normal as you're finishing up existing projects before you hop onto the newer projects. So we're finishing those projects up and be able to get started on some of the other projects that are coming forward. Most of those capital projects, though, are a lot of them are single item purchases. They're not necessarily get started with construction type projects. I will be making a recommendation when I bring back a budget amendment that we reduce in scope the capital project this year. And I've listed in the report a number of items. If you want me to go over them, I will. If you have some questions about them specifically, that brings the current budget from the $1,015,000 to $640,000. In summary, as I indicated initially, I think that we are in a very tight budget situation. It's that way pretty much wherever you go. I'm pleased to see that our revenues are tracking apparently as we had budgeted them. But our expenditures, especially on the maintenance side, are really taking a toll on us. So with the electricity, we are working with our vendors, with Veolia, as well as some outside vendors, to look at ways we can moderate our electric costs. And as I indicated, even a 10% reduction represents about $70,000 to us. And there's something we can do in there. That would be a huge opportunity for savings. Again, some of the items I've highlighted aren't necessarily things we have under our control. You know, we can turn off a light here and there and save a little bit of electricity, but when you run a water wastewater plants 24/7, if you look back on page one of three of item number E2, there's a listing of about 15 or 20 utilities in there, and you know, $14,000, $8,000, $17,000, $3,000, $3,000, $3,000. You can see that to run the pumps, to run the wells, to run the oxidation, all that equipment takes a massive amount of power. And it's not, we just can't save money by changing out light bulbs, the kind of money we're looking at. So we would need to do some wholesale changes to that, and we're looking into those, and we're going to be hopefully finding something that'll work a little bit better. I know that in Veolia's proposal to us, they looked at the possibility that they would work towards some solar opportunities that would help us in that area as well. So don't really know where it's going to go at this point in time with respect to that, but if the board or the public does have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
I have a question, and can I ask maybe Virgil? We remember, my first time on the board, we had a company we had engaged that helped us get our bills down?
Yes.
Do we still use that? Is that?
It's what they did is they directed us to PUC type of rate schedules.
Mm-hmm.
We are on those rate schedules that they recommended.
Okay.
As far as I know, there are no newer ones on there to do. I can just tell you that we've increased the equipment and hence the UV, which yeah. would increase our electricity.
But do we save money by doing that?
By going to the UV?
Yeah, no,
through the new company?
Yeah.
Unless there was a new rate schedule out there that they're not aware of, mm-hmm. I think they would be knocking on our door now if there was.
But to answer, I think there is, to answer your question directly, I think that, what's it, energy resources, Virgil?
Energy.
They have already recommended and implemented for us, and we have followed their recommendations,
yes.
a number of enhancements mm-hmm. and improvements with respect to our rate structures that we've done, and so we are seeing the benefit of that. But anything new, Virgil's accurate.
There's only one item that we've signed up with PG&E. It's they did not want us to sign up with this particular plan, but it's a once-a-year credit that they'll give back to us on this one plan that we just put the wastewater treatment plant on, and I'll have to follow up and see when a credit would be. It's around $50,000 to $60,000 we would get back, but I'll have to check in to see when that would hit our budget year so you can see the reduction mm-hmm. in that.
Thank you.
Any other comments from the board? I would, I'm looking forward to the new budget committee and process for being a little more accurate in our projection. There's some pretty obvious shortfalls here that we probably should have seen coming, and then I take responsibility for that. I'm sorry. Any comments from the public? Yes, sir.
Rick, I think you're aware of the fuel costs that's going up. I'm not sure if that's going to be a big impact in your budget, but it's certainly going to impact us all individually. So.
Yeah, you know, it's my prior position, every 10-cent increase in fuel was a $180,000 increase to our budget. This is obviously a much smaller scale operation than that, but it's certainly a point well taken. Fuel costs are a huge expense for us. Fortunately, we get it at a more modest rate than you would at the pump, but not that much more. So you save a little bit.
Is diesel? Since I don't drive a diesel vehicle, is it going through the roof just like gasoline is?
My diesel bill through.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It's kind of more than gas.
Way more.
Is it?
Way more than
so
gas.
Okay. I just wasn't. Thank you for that. I wasn't just a question out of curiosity. So, is there any action to be taken? So that was one of the or action items, I guess. Discovery Bay Work Experience Project Internship Program. Mr. Howard.
Thank you. This is a follow-up to an earlier request. request that came from request from Director Dawson to put on the agenda the establishment of an internship program at the district. We brought it to the board back in September and then also back in October to get some further direction. I've gone ahead and with Director Dawson's input and you know, some work from his side, put together a job description as well as a draft of a internship policy, calling it a work experience project internship program, and would like to have input from the board and from the public. And I apologize for not getting the policy out until yesterday, but just due to constraints wasn't able to do so. Essentially what I'd like to be able to do is to have an intern be able, whether it's a high school intern or college intern, to be able to come in and assist the district with a lot of those items that we don't normally have time to get to. We've got a backlog in filing. We've got a room behind me that is filled with plans and sepias. We'd like to get those onto a electronic format. With respect to some of the board policies, I'd like to be able to help bring someone on, a college student, if they're available, to assist in projects like that. As I indicated in the past, I'm a victim, if you will, of the internship program in a city I worked in many years ago. And I think they do bring benefit to not only the organization, they also bring it to the students well, and they will be, they would have an opportunity here, I think, to do a little bit more than just fold envelopes, but they would be doing some of that as well. So if you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer.
You have any comments you want to make on this, Brian?
No.
Okay.
The only comment I would have, I'm all for it, the only comment I would kind of like to see it be high school seniors. Just strictly because it may change what they want to do in college. I don't know that.
The only thing that would make me not want to do just high school seniors, and I hear what you're saying, I think it's a great idea, is if we could get someone who is already in public administration or public policy, those kind of majors, or even grad students. I don't want to limit it, but I think that, you know,
I'm open to either one.
I'd like to see, when they say local, I'd like to see local high school seniors from our zip code or Liberty or Freedom High Schools. I don't want to see out of the area people coming here and doing work for us. I want to see hopefully local families and students benefit from this program.
What about the prison release one?
We got the boys branch over here.
That's what I'm thinking.
Ray, you have any comments?
No.
I have a couple. First of all, my only concern is is the amount of effort put forward by staff for training for a position that has relatively no commitment. So if they decide they want to move on, we've invested training in them, and you know, we've got words in this intern project with regards to under close supervision and continuous training. That would be one concern, and I think it's a good idea. I'm just feel I need to bring these things out. And then the other thing I just am a little bit curious about, Rick, maybe you can help me. One of the other things is that under the typical examples of duty, it says Office of the General Manager / Human Resources. Did we give you a new title?
No, but human resources does fall under my job description.
Okay, so I just wasn't sure. So I only really because you—that's the—it kind of falls to you by default more than anything else. Okay, it just looked funny seeing that there. And then the other thing that I saw on here last night, and doggone, I didn't bring my copy from home. Oh, you know, I guess it's just really. Numbers 4, 5, and 6 with regards to how much investment there is by district staff. And I would just be concerned that we would invest time and effort into somebody that decides that they are going to go play basketball or go surfing for the summer instead of fulfilling commitment. But I may be completely off on my perception of how much time it's going to take.
If I can just say real quickly, item number 4, if the schools have the schools already have guidance counselors and career centers, that sort of thing. And if they're going to send a student over, be it a local high school or a college, they're going to want to have a report back. And so the reference is that I would want to make sure that we have the guidance counselor from the school is going to have certain requirements that the student has to fulfill. So I want to make sure that the student fulfills those requirements on our site, okay? Number five is I want to make sure that it's a benefit to both the student and the district. If the student doesn't feel they're getting anything out of it, then we need to either reassess our program or the work assignment, or if the student just feels that this isn't the right thing for him or her, then we go in a different direction and they go in a different direction.
It probably isn't as much as it looks like. It seems to be in there a lot.
And item six, to address that real quickly, the reason I put that in there is I would want the board and the public to know what kind of a benefit that the program that the student is offering to the district and what we're getting out of it. So let's say at the end of the year, we come back and I say, you know, we have 3 student interns, and to be honest with you, it didn't work, and I recommend something. But on the other hand, it might come back and say, we got all this accomplished, and I would probably say it'll be somewhere in between. Some are good, some aren't so good, but I think that we have an opportunity here to maybe get some extra additional support and work. You know, we do have a small staff, and any extra help goes a long way.
Any other questions or comments from the board?
What does one time mean?
In the first
statement there, is it just, what is this going to be? We're just going to try one student?
You're going to try this. If it doesn't work, if it works, then you can revisit it.
It's a pilot program,
exactly.
What I meant by that was, and maybe it wasn't very clear in that, is that the student would have a single opportunity for a period of time to come in and fulfill the roles and responsibilities of what the internship would entail. It could be a pilot program. It could be set up by the board, you know, to be a pilot program, come back in 6 months, come back in a year. We may advertise and recruit, go to the schools, and we might not get anybody.
Yeah. Ray, did you have something?
Yeah, I did. I actually, a lot of your concerns fall in my area of time the district spends on this and dwindling resources. So, and I have a, you know, I mean, if it's just a bank work thing, what does the intern get out of it?
I would not want to give a student intern the job capacity of just folding letters and stuffing envelopes with the water bills in each month. I would want to give them tasks that would support our operation, be it supporting the board, be it supporting myself, Virgil, or any of the other staff members.
But that would be exciting tasks like filing and putting stuff.
Some remedial stuff.
You know, there are always other duties as assigned.
Okay. Right.
I think it's kind of a, I think our size is kind of a two-edged sword.
Yeah.
There could be a huge benefit to us for getting labor and providing experience. So there's the collaborative you're talking about. But also, being that we're a small staff, it takes away from our hours that the staff has to do the jobs that are already assigned. And I think that's an interesting balance because of just the size we are, and that's, I think, where the concern comes from. Any comments from the public on this? Don't everybody jump up at once, but somebody jump up. Mr. Barber is up. He beat you to it.
I entered the corporate world many years ago through an internship program, and for 20-some years after that, I operated internship programs of various sizes and types and things like that. I wouldn't find this, as I see it written on these two pages, plus that other one, workable in my experience for a range of reasons. And I'm not going to go into all my observations, but I think your scope of what you're looking for is way too broad here. You've got everything from GED folks to college kids. You've got assists with recruitment. I mean, the whole thing, having done this a long time, doesn't seem to fit where I've come from with internships. It almost feels more like you're just looking for somewhat free labor for menial tasks, and maybe you'll throw them a bone now and then. If it were me, if I were going to be operating this, it would have to be well defined and tight. and your key is going to be who you bring in the door, because you're not going to want to put a whole lot of effort into hand-holding and showing them the basics. You've got to have absolute minimum requirements. You've got to know how you're going to recruit them. I think you've got to do a little more due diligence here with what's available, the pool. And as was said, I really think these folks ought to be residents, not just Liberty students, but gosh, folks from this district, and brought in for a purpose, a duration. I don't see a duration here. I've never seen an open-ended internship where they're here forever. I mean, just a lot of things like that, having done it, that just make this seem to me like it would be either not successful or too much work or just a disconnect.
Mr. Richardson?
It's been a little while since I commented on this very altruistic, great idea. It really makes you feel warm and fuzzy. It's good feelings. But as I mentioned the last time I talked about it, I had more than 15 years experience in an architectural firm in San Francisco where I ran the intern program with a variety of agencies in San Francisco that were trying to outreach young people in the town and get them involved in the business world. And we did it for a long time at our expense. We did it knowing that it was a net negative in our resources. It drew from our resources, and we could never identify a time when it paid back to us, gave us something. And as I said, we did that intentionally. We knew it was going to be negative, that it was going to drain. And I don't know that you have the resources in time and money, or that it's your charge to do that sort of thing. When I did it, I was in private industry. And we could do anything we want. I don't think you can, and I recommend you not do it. Thank you.
Any other comments?
Yes.
You can. You don't just have to sit there.
I just want to say that we have internships.
Come on up to the. Come on, Ruth.
Come on.
Oh, come on.
We got to record.
Oh, we don't get to hear from you very often.
Okay. I'm just speaking as not a person here as of the press. We have internships at the office, and
okay.
They have always been a really great thing. Granted, we are a different business than you are, but we've ended up hiring people to be on our staff. What we have done when we've gone out and found people is, you go to high school, or you target it a little more, but you're going to get people that are interested in that business. Mm-hmm. You talk to the counselors, you talk to the people, you put up stuff, you go through your local paper and advertise, and you get the word out, and you get people that are interested. So when they do come in, there is a level of knowledge already, and they're looking for certain guidance. There are people that are going to want to know how to answer the telephone. There's going to be people that want to know how to do the human resources accounting. I think you're going to get people like that. And for us, it feels like a minimum amount of effort for what they get and what we get out of it. I would say that 20 hours a week is a lot. Kids are really busy. And if you're lucky to get them, 4-hour shifts are good, because by the time you get them started on something, then you have time to finish it. But that is a lot, because they have a lot of stuff going on, too. That's just my 2 cents.
Thank you, Ruth.
Thanks.
So on Friday, when we get the papers, they're going to say, and Ruth Roberts got up and said, are you going to
Well, that'll be next Friday, because we've already got the press. Yeah.
Okay. Any other comments, Mr. Dorn?
I don't have a copy of the report, but is there an expense associated with this program for us?
The only expense that the board, that the district is asking for right now is a nominal fee that is going to be for, I believe it's for workman's comp increases of about $55. So that's the only direct cost that we can identify. Other than those that have been discussed with regards to training and supervision.
Thank you.
Is that correct, sir?
Yeah, and to clarify that, it's $55 a year.
Right.
And that is based on if we had an internship on a full-time, half-time basis. So if we had someone here part-time all year long, it would be $55.
I think Ruth makes a great point with regards to time, though, yeah. And the 20 hours. So, now, it depends. Depends on the person and for how long they're going to do it.
Can I make a correction? I want to point out some things that were stated that I think were misunderstood.
Okay.
Mr. Barber indicated there's no there's no time frame. Item 3 of the policy states that they may not work more than 960 hours within a fiscal year. So it was, relate back to items 1 and 2 in the policy that identify, before the intern starts, we would identify between us, the student, and their career guidance center, what their role is going to be. I guarantee you, the school will not send a student over if we're going to be have them answer the phone all day long and take messages. They're just not going to do it. They need to get some bang for their effort. And so I don't see that taking place. There will always be other duties as assigned, but there will be a project. It will be project specific for the intern. There can be multiple projects.
Did you have, go ahead.
Thanks. I see there's gonna be a background check done, and I don't know much about this, but what kind of background checks do you do on high school kids?
Lots.
Find anything out? Is that right?
Sure.
Somehow I thought when you're minors, stuff's all in the way, and I had kind of a follow-up question. Do you do drug testing?
You know, I thank you for pointing that out. Item number 4, my final edit didn't make it to this, that we may do a background check if we felt there was some concern.
Live scans are great things, by the way. Even live scan is a great way to do a background check. It costs a bit of money.
And what about a drug test?
It wasn't my intention to go down that road. But if we felt that if we feel that there's an issue, the person's not going to be here.
And I actually like all the comments, even though they were different viewpoints. I think they all make a certain amount of sense. And I really like what Ruth said about the idea that people may want to come in and answer the phone. I think there's been some of the only comments I haven't agreed with is there's been sort of a denigration of stuffing envelopes and answering the phone. I think there's a lot of kids, young people, that could do well to get any experience on a resume. And if it means if my kid needs an internship and experience, I'm not going to listen to him complain about what they have him do. So I don't think you guys ought to stress too much about fulfilling his dreams.
Yeah. Yes, Pat.
I worked on the other end of it. I was in special education for 15 years, and the kids that I had in my class were the ones that would go to the career center to look for this kind of a job. I hope you know what you're getting into if you bring a student in here and you're going to have the school to deal with, and you're talking about a whole nother layer of time and commitment and signatures on the line. So I don't know whether you've looked into that or not, but I know it's out there. And the drug testing would be an absolute wonderful idea.
I can tell you that when I was growing up, I did this. And I had a totally different experience than what we're hearing here. I agree with Ruth 100%. I went there because I had the opportunity to do it, and I got credit for it. And the only way I got credit for it was that I actually went there and got something out of it. And the idea of doing this is to get somebody that wants to be here. And you're talking about how much supervision. If you have, for instance, Calista working with somebody, and she says, I'm going to teach you to do this, well, she's going to do it while she's teaching. It's not that she's going to stop her work to teach them. She's going to teach it to them. And they're going to do it afterwards. I did. I had a great time. I ended up doing it for about a year and a half. And I'm telling you something. I think that we are getting all fired up over nothing here. It's a great program.
Can I clarify one thing I said?
Okay.
There's two different programs that I hear you talking about. I think you were talking about outside work experience that you actually get school credits for. And I don't know whether...
But it was the same, but I wasn't getting paid. It was the same thing. I went there as an intern, and I got credit for it in high school.
But just know you're stepping in a whole new level of bureaucracy if you get involved.
When Ruth was talking about what you're talking about, I'm trying to think of when the kid was in the third grade and they said, what do you want to be, Johnny? And, and they said, I want to be a fireman or I want to be a policeman. And there's, is there really that one kid that says, I want to go work with wastewater?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I just want to make sure of that. I wasn't sure.
It was actually Bob from Account Temps.
Well, actually, yeah, I want to work for Tom.
Okay. So we have we beat this horse?
Yeah, we beat it.
Can I make one change to the job description?
What action? Let's pick first there. What are you looking for? What do you?
Under distinguishing features under the job description.
Okay.
And I want to make this clear because, to be honest, I plagiarized a number of different things, and I would like to, at the end of the word high school, student may be either currently enrolled in high school. I want to delete or equivalent such as GED.
Thank you.
And I think it's okay if the person's in a vocational training program, because if they're in a vocational training program, they may be in a water wastewater vocational training program or in an accredited college university. So I think that the GED reference should be right.
I appreciate that. I'm also a little bit. Oh, okay. Forget it. I'm sorry. I missed a word. I'm good to go. Okay. It was a big word. I missed it. Any more discussion? Pat, you had your chance.
Well, how do you pick these people? I mean, you don't say how you're going to.
Oh, yeah, it says through an interview process. It's in the policies. But anyway, so.
I'd like to make a motion.
Thank you.
That we approve the Discovery Bay Work Experience Project Internship Program policy and job description.
I'll second that.
Okay, the motion's been moved and seconded. I will one time more ask for any discussion. And
I have a comment.
Absolutely.
Is this going to be a pilot program, evaluate in 6 months?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I'd like to have it. I would at least like have it evaluated after a period of time to see if we're...
The way that we had talked about, me and Rick, when we had talked about this, is this is something that we would evaluate on a case-by-case basis. Every time an intern left, you know, you do an exit interview, so we learn what they get out of it and how we can make it better, and we may do it once and find out that, you know, maybe this just isn't the right environment for an intern. But we could find out that, well, if we did this, we could be better, and it could become a very good program.
Ray, do you think it needs to be defined as something? I'm not sure
in the motion,
it does.
Yes, I do. I would like to see it defined as we'll evaluate after a period.
So I amend my motion to
First, I put 6 months on it, and then we'll look at the end of 6 months if we all like it. We'll
evaluate the program after 6 months.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll second
then
it.
Then you amend your second?
Yeah. I'll amend my second.
Okay. That's a great idea, because we can also, at that point, have enough time to put a cost factor on. Is it really distracting from the accomplishments of the, and so that's probably a great idea. Thank you, Rick.
I would just like to also include that that the intern is from Discovery Bay.
Yes. Only. What do you guys?
No.
We may not be able to get some people in Discovery Bay.
I can't believe that.
That's limiting our options. We wouldn't be able to get someone from the University of Pacific. We wouldn't be able to get anyone from any of the community colleges. There's not even I just think that's limiting your options.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Maybe priority be given.
You can put a priority on
that. Is there a problem with that, Council?
You know, I was just thinking, if you were hiring an employee, cannot provide
restrictions
on the other side. But this would be an internship, and I do not know if there's a distinction. My instincts tell me that there probably isn't.
Well, let's just say, okay. We have a motion, and it's been amended, and it's been seconded. Somebody want to call for the question? Let's just vote on this, and then. I think you understand, you guys that are involved understand the guidelines. Our preference would be, and it's logistical too. They're not getting paid any money. They don't want to commute. They're not going to commute forever just for no money. So there's some logistical things that will probably lead it in that direction naturally anyway. And so with that, then I would call for the vote. All those in favor of this program moving forward, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Great. The motion carries unanimously. Boy, it's been so long. Where's the agenda in the front?
We got a lot of bushes.
Okay, committee reports. Are there any committee reports? Okay, chair report and director's comments. The only thing I would like to comment on is that Rick, Chris, and myself, and members of the public went to. Hello. Went to a Delta Preservation Council meeting in Stockton last week, where we listened to a great bunch of people with really big brains talk about why we shouldn't put conveyance systems in, why we shouldn't take water out of the Delta, why we should really evaluate this thing from a very fair and practical standpoint, and listen to some commitments made that says that they're going to do exactly that. Although these commitments were written by the legislature for the legislature, which always makes me a little bit concerned. I got up and spoke on behalf of the town of Discovery Bay, and of all the other speakers that was there, and there's probably, 25 to 30 speakers, I was the only one that spoke on behalf of residents. Everybody else was either with a fish and game organization, with a lot of agriculture.
Farmers.
Huh? Farmers? Yeah, a lot of agriculture, mostly agriculture actually, and then some fish and game. And it was interesting as they were bragging about, I represent, we started with 400 and we ended up with 7,000. We ended up 7,000 people in this committee. Well, I stood up and said, I represent 16,000 people in the largest residential community on the Delta. And that we have 100,000 acres of the 700,000 acres right here in East Contra Costa County. And that's our backyard you're playing with. So and it went on from there. So anyway, it was a good meeting, and it was well represented. And I think that we really have, even though they may not be people that we would always ally ourselves with, we have some good advocates out there that are going to hold people's feet to the fire with regards to this the what's going to happen with the water in Northern California and how it's going to end up going down to Southern California. What that effect will have on the Delta. I'll let someone else comment on other meetings that we attended. Mark looks like he's
prepared. Can I just
absolutely any other comments? Chris, did you want to add anything to that?
I just want to say that the handout materials that were provided at that meeting, I did place them in the back of the room. If you do want to review them, they're back there, but it's the only copy that's there. I only grabbed one set of materials, so they're there for if you want to look at them, but please.
Oh, and I will tell you that the county has put out a formal, did you see that? Formal letter by a gentleman named Steve Getz. And I would encourage you to, what if that's online or not? We'll have some copy. Maybe we'll post that on our, we should post that on our website, Rick.
Yeah, we should.
The letter from the county that talks about what the county's concerns are that really represent our concerns very succinctly it will be available on our website in the next week or so. Chris, did you have any more to add?
I just say it was a really civil meeting, and I thought there were some intelligent people there that are working on our behalf, and I'd like to see the linkage between the five counties. It was well represented there, and I think this group's got a lot of traction, and I'm looking forward to the next meeting.
Thank you. Okay. Chair.
Yes.
Director Simon.
Okay. The Community Center Board of Directors represented the residents of Discovery Bay at the State of the Town Dinner and Awards Ceremony. The directors in attendance were Kevin Graves, Brian Dawson, Chris Steele, Ray Tatrell, and myself, Mark Simon. The awards presented were for Teacher of the Year, Business of the Year, President's Award, and Citizen of the Year. For those of you who don't know who won, Citizen of the Year was Mike Gazzardo, Business of the Year was Rick Pierce Chiropractic, Teacher of the Year was Carrie Flaherty, and President's Award, congratulations, Virgil Caney.
Yay!
Rita Caruso, incoming president of the Discovery Bay Chamber of Commerce, extended her utmost appreciation to the CSD board members for making themselves available to attend this event. President Kevin Graves gave a brief overview of projects currently in progress and future projects being planned by the CSD. Signed, Mark. Sign that down.
This way.
That way. Thank you very much. It actually took me longer to write that than the presentation of awards.
Do you have anything else from your... Ray, do you have any comments?
I have three things. Thank you very much. Okay, first of all, I did attend the P6 committee on January 24th. I have an attendance attached agenda attached to this. But a couple of things, highlights that I saw, and it was a good meeting. They are talking about the new funding that on their new budget, and one of the big things, which is good, is a help to hit, fund the SRO school resource, SASA school resource officer for the district, which and that it's on a grant which is scheduled to run out, so they're hoping to keep that officer on, which it, apparently impact is very high, very high. And then they talked about maybe adding another, try to maybe come up, if the sheriff had some vehicle out there that wasn't real expensive before, they were volunteers, and there's talk about whether they could do that alone or not. But they used to have a thing out here called If I Was a Thief program. If the sheriff was driving around and you were, I'm not going to say it because I'll be crude. But if you weren't real bright and you left your garage door open all night, you were a redneck. No. You know, he would leave a...
Sorry about that.
He'd leave a his business card in there with a note that said, you know, if I was a thief, I'd have taken out your motorcycle or whatever it was. But it's a good thing. It does help people, you know, if they leave the doors open. So they'd like to do that. And the only thing that, where that comes in with us is they first of all, they wanted to know if they're looking for people who could help fund this. And I said that's probably not in our venue, and it's not. But then they said, well, what if we needed a place to park it? And I said, we probably could, you know, help along that line. All subject to board approval. Thank you. And they also, which was unique, and I'm not sure where it falls in their charter, but still was had some possibility. They said, look at some recreational opportunities with partners. Partners being the school district and maybe us. So those are things they might be looking into, and you know, certainly we'll be going back to that meeting and see where they go with that. So I'll pass that down. Thank you.
Okay.
Second thing is I attended a long wastewater master plan meeting, but actually a very informative. It helped me if I make a mistake. I believe that we're shooting for the at least a draft plan to be out in middle March. And before the end, within March, that's right. We can narrow them down to within March. But the point is, which dovetails with why I think I'll fit, you know, on the budget committee, is that there are a lot of expenses, a lot of capital improvements that we may, as a district, have to partake in. We've got, and these people, this master plan is really way. I'm very, very impressed with the detail they went into it. They had a report on just our SCADA that took me forever to read, and very technical, but very, very important that we look at those kinds of things. SCADA is the things that report back errors when a pump station stops pumping, it sends a signal, and many other things. But that was good. So I attended that meeting. And lastly, when we were talking about our committees, we never gave staff, did we give staff direction on how to look for people, have people send in letters, or that they want to be on these committees?
Council?
This is what I asked.
I think it's the two board members who have been appointed to each of those committees. That's their job.
Okay.
And if we want to use staff resources, you're more than welcome to.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate that.
I will lend you staff for that.
Oh,
you
I'm just going to leave that alone.
Yeah, don't get me started.
Thank you.
That's all I have. Thank you. That's
Brian. Chris.
Open with a joke.
Yeah, right. I'll tell you about the Lions Club real quick. So we met last night. These guys have got a full community activities every month, almost every weekend going on. This looks like the spring and summer are going to be very active. I know there's a rally around the bay that they're planning right now. Looking at doing some concerts again out at the marina, but again to bring community together. They've also planned the Easter egg hunt, which is going to be at 10 a.m. the weekend before Easter. And anyway, there's some good stuff going on there. I also attended a chamber board of directors meeting. They're trying to figure out how to bring more business out here and how to get more home-based people to come out and support local business. So we're working with those guys on website communication, and I would imagine they're going to start engaging us a little further on how we can partner and get more community involvement out here. But anyway, that's what's going on. Thanks.
General Manager.
I just have one item for you this evening. Due to the broad support, I guess, or everybody's asking, when are the lights coming down at the front entrance? They were scheduled to come down this week. I have asked Farron to talk to her contractor to leave them up until the time changes at the second Sunday of March. And so maybe we would plan on doing when the time changes, we can put them back up again. So they are a nice addition to the community, so they will be up for another month or so.
But don't make it like the Bay Bridge, that once they put them up, they never took them down because they look so good. Council.
Nothing, sir.
Okay. Correspondence is listed. You all have copies. Public records requests listed. Any other future agenda items other than those that have been mentioned here this evening?
Can I go back to correspondence, if
no.
I may? Okay.
No, you can't.
Item three, I want to bring to your attention that it is from...
It's from the Lions Club. They sponsor that.
Well, it's not from the Lions Club. It's from the school.
Discovery Bay Elementary School.
The school gets sent to ask the board of directors to be judges.
So
we do it. I did it last year.
I just want to remind the board members that if that's something you would like to do or would like us to RSVP one way or another for you,
you have to make that commitment.
Let one of us know. It looks like the event is May 21st.
Well, I know, but...
And
can we find out when they want the commitment by?
May 21st.
I've done that before. Can you book?
We will find that out, and I'll send an email out.
Okay, because I do that.
Got something that day.
One more comment.
Agenda
items.
Yes. Did you have something, Mr. Barber, that you would like to see?
No, I have something.
Well, I'm sorry. Ray, do you have something?
Just to reiterate, because we didn't make it plan, future agenda item, and I mean soon, is to discuss the, what do we call it? We don't act. Is that what we are?
Oh, yeah.
Acting?
ACD.
Okay, whatever. But no, I would like to have it on an agenda. We need to discuss it on you know, how we're going to do that. We actually did first get our first a check-in coming from our tower, which will go into a general fund, which allows us to have some funds to look at. So I would like us to discuss that.
Good idea.
Yeah, it will be on a future. We're actually going to gather information gathering mode on that right now. So as soon as we have some definitive answers from people such as LAFCO and some other.
How long?
Probably about a month, 30 days.
Oh, yeah.
You okay with that?
Yes, sir.
Am I close?
It just depends on our discussions with LAFCO.
Right. Mr. Barber. Sorry, Ray, I didn't mean to skip over.
No. There were some words spoken earlier about the fire district and about representation, and I agree with everything you said, and I think you gave some direction, but I'm wondering if that should not be on the next agenda. I'm wondering if that direction will actually be executed and occur based on what happened tonight. And even if it does, I do believe this is such an important topic that it should be an agenda item this year for a complete review, for a strategy discussion. There is another meeting, I believe, of that board this coming Monday, I think, I saw.
Tuesday.
Yes.
Tuesday.
Monday.
The fact that we haven't, in my opinion, been well represented, the fact that this community has a lot at stake here, the fact that things are moving in a direction that, you know, is concerning, I do believe this warrants an agenda item.
Monday.
And that this town step up its engagement in this whole process, so that we can actually try to have some impact to the degree we can.
We talked about, I know I said that I would like to have staff contact the county on that. Is that the proper procedure for this?
No, sir. It would have to be direction from the board. Not an agenda item, so Mr. Barber is correct.
So let's put it on next month, so we next in 2 weeks, so we can then have some direction for the staff. Is that correct, Council?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Sorry about that. Good to go. Mr. Flint.
Thank you. I don't know if this is the right time to mention this, but when the board turns in handouts from meetings and things like that, as you did during the director's comments, and it seems like those would be very appropriate to include with the minutes in the next agenda packet, copies of them, so the public can see the contents of those reports. Now, we can always file a public records request and get them and post them ourselves, but they were turned in during the meeting, and it seems like it could be easily be posted on the website. Does that make sense?
Well, you'd have to see the notes to understand what that means. We're not all professional, sir.
Point of order. This is not an agenda item.
Yeah, not open for discussion.
Agenda items, and so discussion should be limited to that.
Okay.
Well, that's why I came up during this point. I just want to make sure that what I said made sense.
Okay. Thank you. Any other future agenda items? Okay. And with that, I will move for adjournment. No, I won't move for adjournment. I will adjourn.